here is the place, of course, where I say, turn with me, if you will, to where this week's Torah portion begins, Deuteronomy, or Devarim, chapter 29, verse 9. And it literally begins this way, Atem Nitzavim Hayom. Nitzavim, you are standing, basically all of you. You've positioned yourselves is the way it sometimes is rendered too. It's an interesting conjugation, and it's kind of the eternal now is the way I like to think of much of what we're seeing here, because over and over in this portion, we're going to see the words in the Hebrew, Hayom, today, or this day, Hayom. And what's interesting to me is the way this begins and the way that it's so important, and I'm doing this a little bit different than I intended to, but that's kind of cool because it's, this is the portion. To my mind, this portion is the answer to some of the biggest lies in all of what we have been heard, what we've been told in the whore church and things that we're coming out of. And I'll come back to that concept, but they're right here. I mentioned last week, Deuteronomy chapters 28 and 29, blessings and then cursings, and it sets up where we're going to go tonight. So it's important that we understand this Nephal conjugation of you have positioned yourselves. Atem Netzavim Hayom. You are all of us are standing this day before Yahuwah our El. And he was referring specifically to your heads, your tribes, your elders, your officers, even all, Kol, of the men of Israel. Your little ones, your wives, a stranger that's in the midst of your camp, from the hewer or the fellow who cuts your wood to the guy that draws the water, so that all of us can and should enter into the covenant of Yahuwah, thy El, our El, unto his oath, which he makes with us today. And this is so that he might establish this day, Hayom, again, unto himself, us, for a people, that he may be unto us. Now, he says unto thee, of course, unto you all. But understand, as we go through this, we need to hear this, Hayom, today, this day, in the, the first person, or the eternal now, and in the eternal we, those of us who would choose to enter into this covenant. So he can be to us as an Elohim, as he spoke unto us, and as he spoke unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And not, he says, here comes the key part, not with you only, he tells the people who were there on that Hayom, but us. Not only with you do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that stands here with us this day before Yahuwah, and also with him who is not here with us, Hayom. There you go. That's all of us. Those of us who are reading it centuries, even millennia later. And we know just what they knew. How it is that we dwelt. And remember, most of them weren't their first person. Or at least they heard about it. And we're reading about it. Because most of those who actually were old enough to know what was going on, their carcasses had died in the wilderness by this point. So how we dwelt in the land of Mitzrayim and how we came through the midst of the nations to which we passed. And you've seen all their detestable things in this land. Yes, you could say we too have seen all these same detestable things. And you know what? There's a lot more similarity than most folks would want to admit. Same gods, same fake American idols. Things that were made in this case with wood and stone, silver and gold, and of course nowadays arguably with silicon, which is kind of another variant of a wood and stone. Maybe it's plastic and silicon, which were among them. Lest there should be among you any man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turns away from you, who would go serve the gods of those other nations. Lest there should be among you a root bearing gall and wormwood. And it comes to pass when he hears the words of this curse that he says to himself in his heart, oh, I shall have peace, even though I'm kind of a stubborn dude and walk in the stubbornness of my own heart, says Moshe, so that the watered be swept away with the dry. And Yahuwah will not be willing to pardon that fellow. But then the anger of Yahuwah and his jealousy will be kindled against that man, and all the curses written in this book shall lie upon him. And Yahuwah shall blot out his name from under Hashemayim, from under heaven, or the heavens, really. Okay, we have a lot in the later writings. People hear about the book of life and having your name inscribed in the book of life. I think we're talking about the very same concept here. And it says here that Yahuwah will separate such a man unto evil. out of all the tribes of Israel, according to the curses of the covenant written in this book of HaTorah. And the generation to come, your children that will rise up after you, the foreigner that comes from a far land, when they see all of these plagues, will say, whoa! And the sicknesses, whoa! They'll declare, look, the whole land is brimstone. Salt, burning, isn't sown, or it's not reapable. The grass doesn't grow there. It reminds them of the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, of Admah and Zeboim, which Yahuwah overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. And all the nations will say, what the heck is going on? Why, therefore, has Yahuwah done this thing to this land? What does this mean, this heat of his great anger? And the answer? Well, because they forsook the covenant of Yahuwah, the Elohim of their fathers, which he made with them when he brought them up out of the land of Egypt. And what did they do? They went and served other gods and worshipped them, gods that they did not yada. Lo yada om. That they didn't literally have a deep understanding of, the kind that we are supposed to have with the Creator of the universe. And that he had not allotted to them. And that's why his anger was kindled, not only against the land, but the people that were once in it that are now kicked out, to bring upon them all the curses written in this book. And Yahuwah rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation, and he cast them into another land, as it is, Hayom. Now, interestingly, that curse, of course, we now know, they knew as being something that would happen in the future. We see it as in hindsight, and we're still seeing it, Hayom, this day. The secret things, says the end of chapter 29, belong unto Yahuwah our El, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may, what? Do all the words of this Torah. Now, here's where I pause and say, okay, now we're heading into Deuteronomy chapter 30. To my mind, folks, this is probably one of the key and most important chapters in all of HaTorah. There are certainly many, many places where we could say this is fundamental. The things that are stated here are absolutely key. But in so many respects, when I started by saying this portion, Nitzavim, contains a good answer to some of the biggest lies that we've all inherited from our fathers, lies that still apply today. And they still apply Hayom. And it starts with a promise, which I think is absolutely fundamental. To my mind, this is one of the most fulfilling, comforting promises in all of the book. Because since we are in exile, what he's going to tell us here in these first few verses that we'll get to in just a second is that he will, in fact, regather us from all the lands and nations and places all over the four corners of the earth where he has scattered us. So that's key. But there's also this, okay, and I'll start it and outline it. You've probably heard me say this a number of times. But when it comes to the big lies in Scripture, you have the first two right there in Genesis 3. You can be like God. You will not die. And then we have arguably the biggest lie since then, the biggest new one in the last couple of thousand years, and it was promulgated by the whore church, and it says, the law is done away with, nailed to the cross. When in fact, that's basically what they're doing, is calling the Creator of the universe and his Son and our Mashiach a liar. Because not only does he quote Moshe, who talks about two witnesses here, he uses the same two witnesses, heaven and earth. He said he wasn't going to change the tiniest part or bit, not one yod nor tittle, as long as heaven and earth still exist. And today, Hayom, they still do. So there's that. And then, of course, there's this related lie. And I'm sure you've heard this on the Sun God Day school teachings. And it goes something like this. Nobody can keep the law. It's too hard. Oh, just too hard, too hard. Too nasty and evil. You know, you can't possibly keep the law that mean old God of the Old Testament wrote down. I'm not really exaggerating very much, folks, because that's literally what we're told. That's how they twist Paul. You can't keep the law. It's done away with. Only Jesus could keep the law. What an unmitigated lie from the very pit of hell. So the reason why, among other things, this portion is so important is because it addresses that lie, and it addresses it in no uncertain terms. And that's very vital. So again, if you get nothing else out of a memory aid kind of a thing, stick it in the back of your head somewhere. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And when you hear these lies, think Deuteronomy chapter 30. Go. Suggest to people, you know what? Don't believe the lying you-know-who that's telling you that crap. And that's a polite way to put it. It's worse than the stuff that comes out of the back of the bull, because this is stuff that brings death. And we just heard it. This is a great way to get people's name blotted out of the book of life, is to go after other gods, the kind that claim you can't keep his Torah. They don't even get it right in terms of the translation. So let's go through it. Again, first, the blessing. It'll come to pass, he says, when all these things are come upon you, the blessing and the curse. It will come to pass. These things which Moshe says, I've set before you, and you'll think yourself among all the nations in the place where Yahuwah, your Elohim, has driven you. So here we are. So he's right. We are in exile. Here we are, and it has indeed come to pass. Blessings and the curses. And it says, now this is the part that I find incredibly, blessedly comforting. You shall return unto Yahuwah your El, and hearken to his voice, according to all that I command you, Hayom, this day, you and your children, with all your heart and with all your soul. And then what? And then Yahuwah your El will turn, shuv is the root word there, your captivity, turn it around, and have compassion upon you, and will return, there's the same root word, and gather you from all the peoples, all the places where Yahuwah your El has scattered you. And then he describes in some detail, doesn't matter whether you're scattered, dispersed to the uttermost parts of the heavens, well, from wherever it is, that's from where Yahuwah your El will gather you, and from there he will fetch you. And he will then bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do you good and multiply you even above your fathers. What a great promise. Something to look forward to. I'm looking forward to this. To my mind, in terms of the near things, right? The things that we can say are concrete and promised. This is a really great and arguably near-term one. Yeah, we know there's a lot of other nasty stuff likely to happen. You can look at the economy, we can look at the news and say, all right, got some ways to go before we get there. But we know that it will happen, and we will be regathered. And it says then, he will circumcise our hearts and the heart of our seed to love Yahuwah your El with all your heart, with all your soul, that you might live. And all these curses, he'll put them upon your enemies and on them that hate you and those that persecuted you. And indeed, you shall return and what? Shamar, hearken to the voice of Yahuwah and do all his commandments, which I command you, ahem, hayom, this day. And Yahuwah will make you overabundant in the work of your hand. We've seen this. These were the blessings from just last week. In the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your land, for good. And he will again rejoice over you for good as he rejoiced over your fathers. So we have the blessings, we have the curse, the curses that we've now been told we've seen. And here we are, Hayom, waiting and knowing that these blessings will come. But there is this caveat, if, key, you shall hearken to the voice of Yahuwah your God to keep his commandments and his statutes, okay? His mitzvot and his hukatin, his statutes, which are written in this book of HaTorah, if you turn unto Yahuwah with all your heart and with all your soul. So great promises, and then we get this. Here is the rebuke for those that would call him a liar. And those that say, the biggest lie of the last 2,000 years, the law is done away with, and besides which, you couldn't keep it anyway, because only Jesus could possibly keep that nasty law written in that book. The book that we don't pay any attention to anymore. It's old. What does the creator of the universe say to those who call him a liar? Well, he says, for this commandment, which I command you to this day, is not too hard for you. Neither is it far off. Full stop. Okay, somebody tells me it's too hard and only Jesus can keep the law. You know what, folks? I think the polite response is, that is bull, you know what. You're a liar and the truth is not in you. How dare you call the creator of the universe and everything he's done for us a liar? You say we can't keep it. He says we can. I'm going to go with him. And furthermore, now I've made this point before, and I'm going to read it as sarcastically as I can, because I think that's actually the way it's intended. Some of you heard me say I like Elijah's sense of humor. Right, he has kind of a little bit of a potty mouth sometimes, but he's pretty crass when it suits the purposes to put down the priests of Baal, for example. And here, I think we have the creator of the universe responding appropriately to those who call him a liar and say it's too hard. He says, oh, really? Well, it's not up in heaven that you need to say, who can go up to heaven and get it for us and bring it down to us and make us hear it that we may do it? No, no, nor is it beyond the sea that you need to say, who shall go over the sea for us to bring it to us and make us hear it that we may do it? Wrong. The word is, in fact, very nigh unto you. It's in your mouth and it's in your heart that you may do it. Let me say this again. It's a whopper. It's an incredible, it's right up there with the biggest lies in all of human history that you can't keep his Torah. And it does. It infuriates me, folks, to have people who claim to be obedient to the Word of God calling him a liar and saying you can't do, which he says absolutely positively you can. And then he gets sarcastic and says, look, it's not over the sea. It's not up in heaven. Don't give me that BS. You may do it. They tell me the Torah is written on their hearts, or at least they say, I don't. It's whatever I need is written on my hearts. Well, they're liars. He says, it can be. It's nigh to you. It's close. It takes a little bit of effort, I guess. In your mouth, in your heart, and you may do it. All right. That ought to be enough, you would think. And then we get this. It's repeated twice. Verse 15 and verse 19. Not quite word for word, but very, very closely. And ultimately, I'm going to suggest a couple of things. One, this is the central element describing what it means to be human. This is the place where the Torah lays out what it means to have free will. And here's a really amazing part. It cannot be taken from us. Let me say that again. There's no power on earth that can take our choice away. We can fail. It's an open book test. We can blow it. And many have. Many have bought into these big lies. But it's not too hard for us to make the right choice. So here we go. See, he says, behold, array, take a look. I've set before you this day, Hayom, again, life and blessing or death and cursing. In that I command you this day, Hayom, to love Yahuwah Eloheka, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances. All right, here we go. Mitzvot, hukim, mishpatim. And then, you shall live and multiply. And Yahuwah your El shall bless you in the land that you're going to possess. But, one more time, if your heart turns away, you will not listen. You're drawn away and you worship those other bogus gods and you serve them. I declare to you, Hayom, this day, you will surely perish. Not only will you not prolong your days in the land that you go over the Jordan to possess. Well, here we are, right? And we've already been told this day. It's a fait accompli. But it's not yet over because it's still this day. This is, if you want to think of it, this is the eternal now. This is a promise that is made for us. And it is before us. This day. Every this day to choose. To do what? Well, to choose life. Here it is. This is probably one of my very favorite verses in all of Scripture. And here come those two witnesses too. I call heaven and earth to witness against you, Hayom, this day, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, open book test, right? Choose life that you and your descendants, your seed, might live. Now there's a comma there, and we're going to hear a repetition of what we just heard, but I want to stop and emphasize that again. Two witnesses, same two witnesses that we can still see, Hayom, this day, heaven and earth. And the choice is simple, life and death or blessing and cursing. It's ours to make. And we have the answer. The answer is two words, and I will suggest that this two-word summary, when it comes to understanding Torah, and people say, oh, you know, I can put a really opposer a tough question. How do you interpret the statutes and judgments and commandments? And what if this happens or what if that happens? What if there's this immovable force or a irresistible force and an immovable object? You know, you're caught between a rock and a hard place. Oh, then what? Answer. Real simple. Choose life. So here's the two-word razor understanding for how to rightly divide the word. Now, at this point, I often jump ahead and say, hey, we can go to John chapter 10, verse 10. We see what Yeshua says. He says, I have come, what? He came to teach. He is the Torah made flesh. I have come that they might have life. There you go. And have it more abundantly, even. So let's do it one more time. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants, your seed, may live, to the end that you may love Yahuwah, your Eloheka, to hearken to his voice, to cleave unto him, for that is your life and the length of your days, that you might dwell in the land which he swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov, to give them. Wow. You know what, folks? This is a relatively short Torah portion. But I guess that's a really good thing because it's packed. And that was the end of it. And you know what? I can't think of a better way to end it than basically with those words. We have a choice. This is the essence of what it means to be human, to have free will. And I think this is the key to understanding literally everything when it comes to what we would now call law, to Torah, to contract, and so forth. We have a choice. We can be bound by the choice. And the choice literally is a matter of life and death. We saw it in the Garden of Eden. We see it over and over again. We see it with all the voluntary things. I suggest we're going to see it when it comes to the end times and various other choices of life and death. Things like the mark of the beast. To enter into commerce. To serve what? Other gods. And it's our choice. There is no power on earth that can force us to choose wrongly. We can be lied to, we can be deceived, we can be, pushed, prodded, probed, but we cannot be beyond our will forced. We do have free will, and nothing, no power on earth, nothing satanic can take that away from us, as long as we understand. I have called heaven and earth to witness against you this day. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. And may Yahuwah bless you and keep you, folks, and give us his guidance that no matter what, on this day and every Hayom, we might choose life. Hallelujah. So with that, we will pause. Let me ask if there's any questions. I always can do questions, especially when it's a short one like this. And I'm seeing some comments. Yep, I usually emphasize that. Most of you have heard me say it enough. I didn't really feel the need to do it again. But certainly Torah, while the King James and a lot of the English likes to render it the law, it really isn't. It's the instruction. And it's bigger than law, as we know. In this portion, we see statutes and judgments and commandments. Hukim, mishpatim, mitzvot. Those are elements of law. But hey, remember, the book also includes instruction in the form of parables, of teachings, of the stories, of the lives of all kinds of people, the good guys, the bad guys, the evil ones, and so forth. All of this is about instruction, which is a better way to render it than law. And that's part of the reason why it's been so lied about. If we're told that the law is done away with, and we don't even understand what that word means, that it's his instruction, then it's a lot easier to be deceived, and that's part of the big plan, obviously. I see a question, the secret matters, and that's an interesting one. I don't know that we have a complete understanding of what that is, but we certainly know there's a lot of stuff that's been kept secret from us, and we know that eventually it will become revealed. So I guess that's another one of those good promises that we can look forward to. The secret things belong to Yahuwah. Whether or not the Gnostics and those who study the occult, the hidden things, think they're theirs. The things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. And it's been revealed enough that we understand we can, in fact, do what it says here.